Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
This morning, though, we want to get started on Road to Redemption, the last message in the series. And today we're really going to be talking about dreams and destinations. Dreams and destinations. And we want to talk about how God wants to not only restore you to a place of, let's say, salvation or to a place of wholeness, but He wants to even restore your dreams. There's some of us have had dreams before. We've had these ideas, these things that God has put in our heart, these destinations that we felt like we were supposed to go, and then for whatever reason, we got off track. Whether it was our fault or somebody else's, we got off track, and then we felt like we have absolutely ruined and unqualified ourselves or disqualified ourselves for what God wants to do in our life, and we think that dream is dead and gone. But I want to tell you today, God wants to restore even dead dreams, even those things that you think you could never achieve. God wants to restore it in your life, and so that's what we're going to be going today. And we've been talking about using the road as an example. And did you know whenever you go out on the road, having a destination is important, right? Like, having a destination is super important. It's real easy to get lost if you don't have a destination. One time, we were down at the beach, and we were at Gulf Shores, and we had some friends of ours at the church that we were at, and they had a condo in one of these high-rise, you know, condominium places. And so my family was there. I was in high school. I was a senior in high school. And so my dad and my family went with another family from the church that we were on staff with. They had boys that were my age, and we all hung out together. And so we all went down to Gulf Shores, and we're hanging out, having a good time. And so everybody, you know, people were going in and coming out. Well, my dad gets in the elevator, and he's going up to the floor where our room is, and somebody else got on the elevator with him. And so anyways, they go up, and the elevator opens, and they both get off the elevator, and Dad walks to the room, and he goes in the room, and they had, because my parents were kind of in charge of that trip, they had like the master suite, and so the master suite was to the left, of it to the right, and so Dad just goes in, walks to the master suite, and he sees like, you know, TV on, people in the living room, whatever, and so he goes in there, and he gets in the shower, and he turns on the shower, he closes the curtain, he's in the shower trying to wash off all the sand from the beach, and about that time, he looked up at the shampoo bottles and realized that wasn't his shampoo. And whenever he realized that wasn't his shampoo, somebody ripped the curtain back and started screaming, "What are you doing in our room?" When that other guy got off the elevator, Dad thought that was his floor too, but it wasn't. And he was in somebody else's room, in somebody else's shower. And that lady was mad. Just thinking about it now, like, I think about what I would do. You know, like, there's no level of explanation to that. Like, there is nothing you can say. You may as well just say, "I'm a creeper and I'm leaving." You know, like there's no way, like, even if you say it's an accident. No, it's not. There's no, like, no one's going to believe you. So, like, Joseph, he grabbed his robe and he ran out. And he goes down, realizes what happens, goes down to the right floor, and goes and gets in the shower again. And this time he's in the shower, and again the curtain rips open, and my mom says, "What are you doing?" And she thought it was funny because our family is mean, and so we like to scare each other. And so she didn't know what had happened on the floor above, and so she rips the curtain open and just screams at him, "What are you doing?" And my dad literally almost had a heart attack. Like, he fell in the floor of the shower and was trying to scream, but his left arm hurt, and he was like, you know, he just couldn't get anything out. It was a bad day. The point of that story is having the right destination is important. It's important. You got to have a destination. You got to have a place that you're going. And what we do sometimes is we don't have a clear destination because we feel unqualified, and so therefore we wander aimlessly, right? We just wander around aimlessly, and we bounce from job to job and from relationship to relationship and church to church and place to place. And because we have no destination, no purpose, no place that we're trying to get to. And a lot of times the reason we don't is because we've disqualified ourselves, or we feel like we have. And so today I wanted to show you a couple of different places in the Bible where we're kind of going to recap a little bit of what God's been saying to us throughout this whole process. But then we're going to look at Peter in a few minutes. And Peter's the guy we talked about earlier in the series that really just messed up big time. And then Jesus restored him. And so we'll get to him in just a minute. But I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. We'll start at verse 2. And if you've got the YouVersion app on your phone today, you should be able to look up our service on your YouVersion app. You can go to events and then search for our church, and you should be able to look up the service today. It'll give you all the notes, all the scriptures, everything on there. And if you don't know how to do that after service, find somebody. We will show you how to get all that hooked up. But Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 2 says, "And return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey His voice in all that I command you today, and with all your heart, with all your soul. Then the Lord will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and He will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you." I want to show you something real quick. We'll stop right there. He says return, and that's what we talked about in the first message, was you got to have a U-turn. You got to have repentance. Like you can't get to where you're going. If you're on the wrong path, you can't get to where you're going by staying on that path. You got to turn around. You got to go the other way. You got to go towards God, not away from God. And then it says, if you return, then I will restore. I will restore what? Your fortunes, your future, your destiny, your purpose. Verse 5, just skip down to verse 5. It says, "And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring." In other words, He's going to cut away those parts of your heart that you don't need, where you've allowed your heart maybe to get callous, or maybe you've allowed your heart to wander after certain desires. God says, "I'm going to even cut away some of those desires from your heart so that you can be focused on Me and what I want to do with your life." It says verse 7, "The Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and the enemies who persecuted you, and you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all His commandments that I command you." A couple of real quick things I want to show you there is, He says, "I'm going to take you into a land." And the reason I say that about land is that land that He's talking about, the Bible calls the promise, right? The promised land. And this was the place, the location, the destination that these people were trying to get to. And God says, if you'll learn to repent, if you'll learn to turn back to Me, then I can put you in a position to get you into the land, the destination that you're supposed to be in, that you were destined to go to, right? And then I love this part too, and it's not really in my notes, but all right. I like this part too. It says that He's going to curse the enemies. He's going to curse the enemies that have attacked you. Some of us have struggled so long with these enemies, these people, these spirits, these addictions, these issues that it's like we can't let go of, that continually try to draw us back in, right? And we've struggled with that, and God says, "I'm going to curse those enemies." Like, I'm going to start breaking the chains of the enemy on your life, the things that you've struggled with for years and you felt like there's no way to get free from. I'm going to start breaking those chains in your life if you'll just start off by returning to Me. Another one is in Joel chapter 2. I want to look at Joel chapter 2 real quick. And I want you to notice the pattern. Notice the road to redemption. Everything we've talked about so far. So we talked about you got a U-turn. We talked about you got to have the refueling, right? The power of the Holy Spirit. And so look at this. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to Me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments." What that means there is, back in those days, whenever someone was upset and they wanted people to see that they were upset, they would rip their clothes. They would tear their shirt. And they wanted people to see, hey, he's really upset. And God says, the time for talk is over. Like, stop tearing up your clothes and start tearing up your heart. It's good that you're telling everybody how hurt you are. It's good that you're telling everybody how repentant you are. But I'm tired of hearing you talk about it. I'm ready to start seeing you live it out. God says, let's do something for real this time. Let's just stop talking about it. Let's do something. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And He relents over disaster. Some of you need to hear that today because you feel like you've done so much wrong that God is waiting to punish you. And the Bible says if you'll learn to turn. Everybody say, learn to turn. Say, I'm a poet and I didn't know it. I'm just kidding. Don't say that. That was stupid. But you need to hear that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love. That means overflowing in steadfast love. These are good things. Joel 2:28, if you skip down to verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass afterwards, after what? After I've repented, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. God wants to pour out His Spirit on you. He wants to refuel you, empower you, right? So we've got the repent, the turn, we've got the refuel. And then verse 25, look back up at verse 25. It says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter. In other words, what he's saying is there's all these years that have been wasted in your life. And maybe it's not years, maybe it's months, maybe it's days, maybe it's weeks. We've had these moments in our life where we got a little off track. And when you get a little off track, then you stay in it and you get way off track. And we waste so much time that God could be using us. We waste so much talent that God could be using. Some of you, I tell you all the time, I feel like some of you guys are called beyond what you even understand because God has put so many talents and gifts and abilities in some of you. And if we're wasting those things, if we're using those things against what God wants us to do, it's just like pouring, you know, someone giving you a water and you're starving in the desert and you choose to pour it on the ground. It's just wasteful. But here's what God says. God says, not only when you repent will I love you, not only when you repent will I pour out my Spirit on you, but then I'm also going to restore all the wasted time. All that time that you threw away, I'm going to restore it. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to get years added to my life? No, He's going to restore all the things that you could have been doing during that time, all the fruit that you could have been producing, all the lives you could have been changing. God's going to restore that to you after you do these things. And that's what I believe God wants to do today. He wants to restore. He wants to restore your destination, your purpose, your dream. All those times that you wasted your dream, you wasted your talent, you wasted, God says, I'm going to restore that today. Today. And listen, let me get serious for a second before we go to Peter. I honestly believe that this message is not just here today because it's the end of the series. It's here today because somebody needs it today. And it might be you. And you may be saying, yeah, but Gabriel, you know what? I've been in this church for years. Well, not too many because we're not that old. Yeah, but Gabriel, I've been serving God forever. I'm not wasting anything. You don't know what you've wasted. See, I've been in church a long time too. And I'll be honest with you. There's plenty of things I've wasted. There's plenty of times that I've gotten off track and gone away from my destination and my purpose. And it may not be far, but it's enough to waste time. Have you ever been going somewhere and it's time to go, I hate being late. I hate being late, right? And so whenever I'm getting ready to go somewhere, one of the worst times for me, and believe it or not, is whenever I'm by myself. And sometimes even with my son, Colt. And it's like, because I think, without all the other kids or without Perry, I think I can get out the door fast. And so I will waste time about, well, let me just watch this one more segment on Mike and Mike, right? Or let me just eat this, or let me just do that, or you know, yeah, I got time to, you know, fix my hair today. I mean, I take all this time, right? What? It takes time to shave your head, man. It doesn't just fall off by itself. I mean, some of it does, but not all of it, right? And so it takes that. So I start thinking, I can just, I can do this and I'll still be okay. And then what happens is those little bitty minutes that I waste turn into 15 minutes of waste, turn into an hour of waste. And now all of a sudden I'm running late for wherever it is I'm going. And it just gets you behind. I was telling my son about driving and trying to help them understand how it works, how the steering wheel works. And I said, you can just barely turn the steering wheel a little bit. And at first it doesn't feel like you're off track very far. I said, but if you keep it that way for a long time, you're in the ditch. And so even those of us that are old school Christians have wasted time. We've gotten a little sideways in the ditch sometimes. And so God wants to restore some stuff for you today too. Amen. Let's look at how Jesus restores us, and then we're gonna talk very practical about some things that we can do during this process. So Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter's the guy that's our perfect example of somebody that had a dream, had a purpose, had a destination, threw it all away, right? Because he cared too much about what other people thought, right? And doesn't that happen to us sometimes? We know we're supposed to be living a certain way. We know we're supposed to be doing something. God's called us to do something to a purpose. But then all of a sudden, we start thinking and hearing what everybody else is saying, and it gets us a little off track. So Peter did that. Jesus restored him. And so let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, because now he's going to teach us what happened in his life. He says in verse 6, first of all, you got to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Let me pause there. Peter's saying, hey man, repent, humble yourself, turn back to God. And you need to understand, be sober-minded. Be sober-minded, be alert, be awake. Why? Because your enemy is coming after you. Everybody in this room has an enemy that's coming after you. Now he may attack you different than he attacks me. But I promise you, he attacks all of us. He attacks every one of us. And the Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He's coming at you to separate you. We talked about that last week. He wants to separate you. He wants to cull you from the herd because he's a lion. That's his nature. It's to take you away from everybody else. And the plan of the enemy is he's smart. And Peter's telling us, he's saying, listen, guys, humble yourself. Stop being so thinking you're somebody. Because Peter did that. The Bible says that Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross. And Peter said, I'll go with you. I'll die with you. And Jesus said, no, you won't, man. You're going to forget you even know me. Peter's like, I'll never do that. And then, sure enough, he's denying Christ, right? Sure enough, he messes up. And Jesus told him, he said, man, listen, Satan wants you. Like, Satan's coming after you. He's attacking you. He's trying to pull you away. But I'm praying for you, Peter. I'm praying for you that whenever you fall, you're going to get back up, right? So Jesus is praying for him. So Peter's saying, look, guys, this is for real. Like, this stuff happens. You're going to be attacked. And then verse 10, this is what I like. And after you have suffered a little while, because Peter suffered for a little while. He messed up. He got stuck in it. That word suffer there means emotional, mental distress. Like it's not just someone hitting you. It is the idea that you're suffering on the inside. Because isn't that really what sin does to you? Sure, sin can have an effect on your outward man. But in reality, sin starts to burn you up, corrupt you, rot you from the inside. The pain is here. The pain is here. Whenever you get done doing that thing you knew you shouldn't do, and then all of a sudden the guilt and the shame comes over you like waves, and the enemy's got you. Peter says, you're going to suffer for a little while, but, this is what I love, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I want to just look quickly at those four words. That word restore means to perfect, to adjust, to exact fit, to put something back in good working order. He wants to come in, and you may be broken down, messed up, off the rails. And the Bible says that God Himself wants to perfect you, wants to adjust you to the perfect fit. He wants to get you back in good working order. Have you ever had a vehicle that something was wrong? Right? Right, Wes? You had a vehicle, something was wrong. And you get in there, and it's such a good feeling whenever you can fix that thing or get someone to fix it, and all of a sudden it's like, I've got a brand new vehicle. Perry and I have this car. It's a Ford, and it's awful. It's the worst. She says, don't say that. It's going to die. It hears you. It's the worst. Like this car, when they say Ford is fixed or repaired daily, that really does apply to this vehicle. And I remember not too long ago, Perry drives at work, and there's like a ball bearing is gone out now. And so it's like going the whole time you're riding down the road. And it's so annoying, so terrible, right? And it's just one of those things, like, it just aggravates you. And so we take it, we get it fixed, and I get in the car, and it was just like, and it felt so smooth and felt so quiet. And I thought, oh, this is a good feeling. It's a good feeling to have something back in working order. And that's what God wants to do to you. He wants to restore you. Number two, He wants to confirm you. And what does that word mean? That means to support or prop up. To support or prop up. In other words, think about a tomato plant. You don't just let a tomato plant grow, right? What do? You put a prop there for the tomato plant to grow up on, to support it, to give it strength. The same thing with a palm tree. If you ever go down South Alabama, go to Florida, they don't want the palm trees just kind of growing however they want to grow, so they'll put these supports to force the palm tree to grow up to make it more stable, right? And so it's important. That way they don't run out to the road and kill people. So it's important for you to understand that God wants to support you, to prop you up. So whenever you're hurt, you're broken, you're messed up, not only is He going to put you back in good working order, but then He's going to find a way to support you and prop you up. Confirm. I love that thought. I really do, because I start thinking, for me, one of my, you know, have you ever done the Five Love Languages book or whatever? You heard someone talk about it. And Perry and I were talking about it the other day, and one of mine is words of affirmation. I love it whenever Perry tells me good things about me. Like, even if she lies, I don't care. Like, I'll take it. You know what I mean? Like, why? Because that confirms, it builds up who I am. It supports me in what I do. The third thing is, it says He'll strengthen you. And that word, the way that they use strengthen there, it's almost like a trainer would do for you in the gym, to not just strengthen you, but to make you strong and mobile, ready for a fight. I like that one. I like that one. I want to be ready for a fight, because God knows that the enemy is going to continue to attack you. And Peter said, you got to stand against him sometimes. And whenever you stand against him, you got to be strong and mobile, ready to fight. Ready to fight. And so that's what we need. We need God to strengthen, and that's what He wants to do to you. Some of you think, I'm so weak, I'm so broken down, I always fail. God says, that's okay, I want to strengthen you. Let me train you. Let me get you in the gym. Give me a couple weeks in the gym, and I'll do something great in your life. The last thing it says is to be established. He wants to establish you. That means to be rooted, grounded, or settled. And that's really what a lot of us need. Like, whenever we felt like we're wandering through the desert, we're bouncing from place to place, and relationship to relationship, and job to job, and church to church, all that stuff I said earlier. It's something that God wants to do, is to establish you and say, hey, look, let's put down some roots. Let's put down some roots. Let me give you a good, firm foundation. And He wants to do that in your life. That way you can stop wandering, you can stop worrying, you can stop, you know, always caring about everything else, that God says, let me just root you. Let me root you. And then the next thing is this. What do we need to do with these thoughts? Like, okay, this is what God's doing, but what am I doing? This is what God's doing, but how do I operate in this process of restoration? So let me just give you quick. I always like to give you a couple of things you can do when you go home, right? I don't ever like to give you a message that you can't apply. So let me give you a couple of things. Number one, you can get a dream. You can get a dream. Some of you may be saying, I don't have a dream, Pastor. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what God wants from me. Let me tell you something. You get a dream. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Let me tell you something. It's not just what you want to do. It's what God wants to do through you. You get a dream, but where you get it is you get it from God. Now, we all have dreams, right? Everybody has always said, I'm going to be a fireman, I'm going to be a policeman, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. Like, everybody's got those. That's great. But that's not God. What is it that God wants for your life? What is the dream that only God can put in your heart? And here's what I think about. When I think about a dream that God puts in my heart, I think about something that's got to be bigger than me. I think about something that's got to be bigger than me, because if it's bigger than me, then I got to rely on God to do it. If it's bigger than what my talent or my education or my skill level is, then I've got to rely on God to do it. And here's the thing, God wants to invest in your dream. So God's dream for you is always going to be bigger than you. So if you've got this dream in your heart and you say, man, there's no way I could ever do that, it's probably God. It's probably God putting something in you that you know you could never do. That you say, I'm too messed up for that. No, no, no. God wants you to have a big dream because He wants to invest in your dream. There's another one that I think is important, is this guy Joseph. In the Old Testament, Joseph had a dream. And at first, Joseph thought the dream was about him. He thought the dream was just his dream, that people were going to bow down to him. But if you ever go back and read the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, the dream wasn't about him. It was about saving an entire generation. It was bigger than him. It was something he couldn't do on his own. He had to have God to do it. Some of us need to be looking at our generation. The next thing is, we got to live the dream. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner or live in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We got to live the dream. Some of us, God gives us this dream, and then what we do with it is we just kind of live our own life and hope that the dream will come to pass. We just kind of sit back and wait and hope that the dream will come to pass. But really, you need to live the life worthy of the calling before the calling comes into place. We think, well, one day I'm going to be doing this thing for God. I'm going to be doing whatever it is God wants me to do, and then I will. We've had people all the time come to me, like, ever since I was young in the ministry, like, first started in the ministry, people would say, man, if I was in the ministry, if I was a pastor like you, I would read my Bible all the time. If I was a pastor like you, I would pray all the time. And I said, well, are you praying all the time right now? No, because I'm not a pastor. I'm like, that's not how it works, boss. God's not going to grab somebody that's not doing the job of a pastor and say, oh, let me make you a pastor. God's going to grab that person that's being a pastor before they're ever a pastor and says, that's the guy I'm going to elevate. See, in the book of 1 Samuel, they took Saul and made him king, but Saul wasn't acting like a king. God said, I don't need a king, I need a shepherd. Let me go find someone that's already being a shepherd. Let me go find someone that's already killing giants, and let me bring that person in to shepherd my people. Let me find somebody that's doing it because they love me, they're doing it because they enjoy it, they're doing it, and no one's even looking at them, and that's the guy I want to elevate. Peter said, humble yourself so that God can exalt you where you need to be. So stop telling me that I want to be a CEO one day, but you can't wake up before 10 o'clock. Right? CEOs don't wake up. They wake up 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. Like, people that are really doing this thing, don't tell me you want to, you know, we talk about this all the time because I like to run those Spartan races. And people tell me, I'm going to run a Spartan race with you. No, you won't. Like, you'll run it. You'll walk it. You won't run it with me. I'm going to leave you. Because I train for this stuff. I work for this stuff. Right? But you tell me you're going to do something, and then you don't live the life that is necessary to do that thing? No, you just talk. You just talk. You're just ripping your clothes. You ain't doing what God wants you to do. Right? Sometimes we got to learn to live the life before we get the life. Live the calling before the calling shows up. Live the dream. It took God 17 years to get that through to Joseph. If you go back and read the story of Joseph, look it up. Find the story of Joseph. You'll find that Joseph had a dream. He didn't live a life worthy of the dream. He was too prideful, too arrogant. And God had to take him down before he could elevate him up. But once Joseph realized that even in the pit, even as a slave, even in prison, I can lead, I can do what God's called me to do. And the Bible says God was with him and prospered him. And once Joseph realized that even when nobody's looking at me, I can still be a leader, I can still do what God wants me to do, at that point is when God raised him up and said, now you're ready. Because you're living the life when no one's looking, let me put you in a place where everybody sees you. the last thing that I feel like we need to do today is pursue the dream. Pursue the dream. So get a dream only from God. Live the dream before you ever have it. And then pursue the dream. What do I mean by pursue? I mean go after it. Work for it. I don't mean that, man, God gave me this dream to start a church and I'm just going to sit back and I'm just going to watch. I remember having the conversation with my dad one day and I said, look, Pop, I love you. I love working with you. But God's got something inside of me to do and I can't do it here. Like, I'm going to have to break away. I've got to do something else. There's somewhere else that God's calling me to be. And I had to pursue what God wants. I had to get out of my comfort area. When John and Anna came to church here, one of the things they told me is they said, no, we're not coming. That was one of the things they told me. And I cried. Just kidding, I don't do that. And so they said no. But then later when they came back to me, they said, God is calling us to take a risk and do something and work towards, there's this dream we've got and we love where we are, we're comfortable where we are, we could stay where we are, but God is calling us to take a risk. God is calling us to step out. And sometimes you've got to pursue the dream that God has for your life. You've got to go after it. I want to look at Acts chapter 2, and I'm almost done. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. So here's what's happened. Peter gets restored by Jesus. Peter goes to the upper room. Holy Spirit falls on Peter and all of his friends, the disciples, and they start speaking the word of the Lord in other people's languages, and the people outside hear the word of the Lord being spoken in their own language, and they go up and they're checking things out, and they say, these people are drunk. And here's what happens. They say, these people are drunk, and Peter, in verse 14, now remember, Peter's the guy. Peter's the one that was always worried about what other people thought. So watch what Peter does. Peter, standing with the 11. Sometimes you're standing with other people. Sometimes you're in a church full of people and you feel like you got a dream. Sometimes you're at home with other people. You don't feel qualified like everybody else. And so your first response is, I know God's got this dream for me. He's given me the dream. I'm trying to live the life worthy of the dream. But you know what? Probably Jim is more qualified to do it. So I'm just going to let Jim do it. And I'm just going to stand back with the 11. I'm just going to stand back with the crowd. I'm going to let Jim do it. And I'm just, you know, really, really probably Ariel's better. Man, she's better at doing this than I am. So I'm just going to let Ariel just do her thing. And I'll just sit back and I just need more time maybe to just learn and prepare. Sometimes we use the excuse of, I need more time, as a reason for us not to do anything. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he said, I know God's called me into the ministry. I know He has. He said, but I just feel like I've got to go get some more education. I need to go to this school, and then I need to go and move to this town and go to this school. And if I can just get this degree and get this doctorate and get this. And I said, dude, so God called you to the ministry? He said, yeah, but I got to have this. I said, why do you have to have all that? If God's called you to get all of that education, go get it. I'm not faulting you. But the guy's already got one degree. I'm thinking, how many degrees do you need to be able to tell someone that Jesus loves them? I don't know. I said, you want to be a teacher? You want to be a preacher? There's a difference. And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, look, you need to figure out what God's calling you to do. And if it's to get education, that's great. But if you're using education as an excuse not to step out and do something for God, then you're missing it. You're missing it. Peter is standing there. He could have very easily said, I'm going to let these other guys talk. But it said, Peter lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Here's something Peter did. Number one, he stopped caring about what everybody thought. He said, I don't care if y'all do think I'm drunk. And number two, he stepped out and made his voice be heard. He committed himself. He put himself out there. He just saw Jesus murdered for the same kind of stuff. And he said, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to commit. I'm giving 100. And I give it everything I've got. Hey, everybody, listen to me. Right? He gives it everything he's got. He lifts up his voice above the crowd. Today, God's calling some of you to commit, to give 100, to give everything you've got to the calling, to the purpose. I like the idea that we need to give 100 and then rely on God to do the rest. because a dream is bigger than your 100. But you don't want to go to bed regretting. You don't want to go to bed at night thinking, I only gave it 50% today. I told the people Wednesday night, I said, there's times when I've preached messages before, and people will come up to me and they'll say, man, that was a good message. And I'll go home and Perry will say, how was the message today? And I'll say, not good. And she'll say, but so-and-so said it was really good. I said, no, it wasn't. I said, because I know my level of preparation. I know my level of commitment to prepare the message, to get a word from God. And this week I didn't give 100%. And because I didn't give 100%, I don't feel like it was everything that God wanted it to be. Now, God can do whatever He wants, but I want to say I gave it everything I've got. Does that make sense? Look in Deuteronomy one more time, and we're going to do Deuteronomy a couple of times here. Start at verse 9. It says, and the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand. Notice it didn't say in all the sitting around and waiting. He said, you got to commit to something. You got to work for something. Doing something great for God, living out the dream that God has for your life, having that dream restored and that destination restored to your life, it's going to take some work. And he said, God will make you prosper as you work, right? So he says, he'll prosper the work of your hand and the fruit of your womb and in the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground. Listen to this. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you. He will take delight in prospering you. In other words, He is invested in you today. And the more you commit to it, the more He gets a return on His investment. And He loves making you prosper. He loves it whenever you put your hand to something and He gets to put His hand to it too. He loves it when you give 100% and He's saying, I'm going to give it 100%. We're going to do something great. We're going to do something great. And this is my last thought today. Go down to verse 11. My last thought is this. You've got to commit. You've got to commit. And it's got to be a choice that you make. See, your dream, your destination, it's not going to just come upon you. Right? Like whenever I get in the car to go to Disney World, I'm not going to just go sit in my car and turn it on and all of a sudden, zoop, Disney World shows up. I wish that would happen. It would save me a lot of gas. No, man. I've got to make the choice to follow the path, to listen to the little voice on my phone, and get to the place where I'm supposed to be. You got to make that choice today. You got to make that choice. And you don't just make it today, you make it every day. Every day it's a choice. Every day we wake up and we're going to be offered the opportunity. Every day you're going to be offered the opportunity to stay in bed. Stay in bed. You're going to be offered the opportunity to cut this corner. Look at this website. Talk to this person that you know you shouldn't talk to. Right? You've got the opportunity. Go to work or stay home and just pretend like you're sick because you're tired. Tired's killing America. That's why I gave you Red Bulls this morning. Y'all got to wake up, man. There's this guy I like to listen to. He says, sleep is for suckers. I believe it. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment that I gave you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. God says, it's isn't hard. This message isn't hard. And it's not far away. It's not someday, one day. It's not future. It's today. He says, not in heaven that you should say, who could go up there and bring it to us? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea and bring it to us that we can hear it and do it? Verse 14, but the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart so that you can do it. Today, the word of God is in your heart. Don't start telling me I got to listen to another message. I got to read another book. The word of God is there. The dream is there. The purpose, the destination, it's there. It's in your heart. You know it. You know it today. And I know it. Verse 15, see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. God says, I'm giving you a choice today. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God
that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways, by keeping His commandments and statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. In other words, He's saying, if you'll just follow me, if you'll turn, you'll follow me, then I will bless you and I will give you possession of the dream. You can own it. You can live it. You can walk it out. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but you're drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you'll surely perish. You won't live long in the land that you're going over to Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And this is the cool part. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. God says, I'm giving you the choice today, life or death. And then He gives you the answer. It's like a teacher giving you a test and then saying, and by the way, here's the answer key. Right? God's saying, I'm giving you life and death today, blessing and curse. Stay on the path that I've drawn out for you, and I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to give you possession of your dream. Veer away. Continue to allow yourself to be drawn away by other gods, by your desires, by your lust, by your flesh, and you're not going to stay in the dream very long. It's going to fall apart on you. He says, I'm giving you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Choose the dream today. Choose to pursue God today. Choose to allow God to restore all that the enemy has stolen. Choose to allow God to restore all the years that you've wasted. Choose life today. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. Holy Spirit, we come to you this morning. And we just ask you to speak to our hearts. Whatever it is that you're trying to tell us right now, I just ask that we would open up our ears. Let us hear your voice inside of us. God, some of us have wasted years. We've wasted time that you wanted to use. But God, I thank you that you don't throw us away because we've wasted time. I thank you that you restore us. You restore the dream. You restore the purpose. You restore the destination. God, I thank you that today you're giving us a choice to choose life or choose death. So I just ask you this morning to speak to our hearts in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.